Good morning, folks. This is Amy, and I am just sneaking on the air this morning to give you our fall on-air fund drive, where we are raising Dolores dollars to bring back and keep all the fun here on WGDR, WGDH, Central Vermont Community Radio. So we are over halfway to our goal, but we still have a little ways to go. So if you are able and willing to send us some do-re-mi, some money to help keep the station on the air, please do so. Please go to centralvermontcommunityradio.org and find out how. Or call me. I'm here at the station this morning, 802-454-7762. You're the greatest. We'll see you in a little bit for the show.
Listening to WGDR Plainfield, WGDH Hardwick.
Community support for Amy's Kids Show is provided in part by Woodbury Mountain Toys, featuring a selection of toys and games for kids of all ages. Located at 24 State Street in Montpelier, Vermont. More information at woodburymountaintoys.com. Come in and play with us.
We bring you the following show with the intention of providing a wide range of voices about the issues of the day. We encourage listeners to critically examine claims and other statements.
Rise and shine, everyone. It's time for Amy's Kids Show. And this is Amy, and I'm so happy, super happy to be here in the radio station with the chickens and all the other animals, the cows and the dogs and, you know, all my usual guests. But of course, today, like always, I've brought some special guests with me today, some super special guests, and I am so excited to share these folks with you. So here's what we've got. We've got three super special guests today. We have a great big Blue Hubbard squash. We have a leprechaun. And we have my new favorite role model, someone who I want to be a lot like. I want to be more like her every day. Her name is Rosie. And she is an amazing girl, all right? And we're gonna hear a story. I'm going to read you a story called Rosie and the Little Folk by Alec Hastings. And this is just the sweetest story. And not only does it have three of my favorite characters, but it also discusses one of my favorite subjects. So let's start out with a great big Blue Hubbard squash. Do you know what that is? Well, they are the most beautiful squash, I think. I agree with Rosie on this one. And they actually are a squash. They're not a pumpkin, although they are related to pumpkins. And we also are going to have a leprechaun. Well, what's a leprechaun? Well, a leprechaun is one of the little folk, one of the fairy folk. And fairies are a little bit like angels, which we've been talking about here on Amy's Kids Show recently, actually. Angels and fairies are the type of creatures that some people believe in, some people don't. And we'll see how you feel after you hear this story, okay? But one of the things that may be very true is that most of the stories involving fairies and leprechauns also involve wishes. Right? Wishes. When you wish upon a star or when you wish something and a genie comes out of a bottle, right, to answer your wish. So this story has wishes too. And it's going to also help us understand how we have to be very careful what we wish for. And one of my favorite new role models here, Rosie, is perfect at that. I really think that not only is she strong and kind and hardworking, all my favorite traits, right? All the things I want to be. But she also makes, I think, the best wishes. She like totally understands that we have to be so careful what we wish for and make sure we wish for the best thing, right? And she does. She wishes for what I think is definitely the best thing. And if we could just all wish for that, we might all be just as happy and surrounded with good friends like she is. So I'm going to join you for the story here in a little bit. Thanks for joining me on Amy's Kid Show. Let's get started. Well, folks, got some leprechaun music on in the background here for our story, so I'm going to begin reading here pretty soon because this is a little bit of a big chapter. I want to make sure we have time for this. Today I'm going to be reading from a book called Rosie and the Little Folk by Alec Hastings. And this book has four stories in it. We are just going to read the first one today. And there's a little introduction here. It says, I believe in fairies, the myths, dragons. It all exists, even if it's in your mind. Well, guess who said that? John Lennon from the Beatles. He said that. Well, here we go, guys. Chapter one of the first story. This first story is called Backfire Bob and the Blue Pumpkin Girl, Chapter 1. Back in the old days, there was a girl named Rosalind Beecham Puddlejohn. Rosalind means pretty as a rose in French or Spanish, I forget which. So everyone just called her Rosie. Everyone, that is. Except the two boys who called her Little Pumpkin Girl. I'll tell you about them later. Anyway, her face was pink and healthy like a pretty rose, and it was framed with a halo of curly golden locks. She was an angel. Well, not really. She didn't have wings, if that's what you're wondering, but she was awfully nice to everyone. Even to the two boys who called her Blue Pumpkin Girl. Rosie lived with Mrs. Millicent Churchill, who was an old woman and had gray hair and bags under her eyes and smoked nasty cigarettes. Rosie was four when her mother and father died in an airplane crash in California. That was when she went to live with Mrs. Millicent, who took her in as a foster child. Mrs. Millicent wasn't a bad lady, even though she smoked cigarettes and her house often smelled like a bus station. But she believed in work, 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 as she put it. So Rosie spent most of every day like that of other foster kid, of that other foster kid, Cinderella, cleaning floors, making soup, feeding the chickens, taking out the garbage, and so on and so on. The work wasn't so terribly hard, except that Mrs. Millicent had an unfortunate eccentricity in her speech. Eccentricity. My, that's a big word, isn't it? It means something odd. In Mrs. Millicent's case, it meant that she said everything twice. Instead of just saying, mop the floor, Rosie, once, she would repeat herself like this, mop the floor, Rosie, mop the floor. Or she would say, wash the windows, Rosie, wash the windows. Rosie, being such an angel, was anxious to please, so guess what she did? Yes, you guessed it, she did everything twice. And of course that took twice as long and made her twice as tired. Chapter 2. Still, life would have been bearable if not for Alexander Foolscap and Tug Twizzlestick Churchill, the two boys who teased Rosie by calling her Little Blue Pumpkin Girl. Mrs. Millicent was a superb cook. And although Rosie had to cook her own oatmeal for breakfast and her own grilled cheese sandwiches for lunch, Mrs. Millicent always cooked supper. Well, almost always. Sometimes she made bouffe bourguignon, and sometimes she made fried oyster po' boy sliders. But whatever she cooked, Mrs. Millicent's dinners were always delicious. Rosie was well fed, but she didn't get fat because she scrubbed floors and worked practically all the time. She would have been content, if not completely happy, except for Alexander and Tug. If you don't mind, I'm going to call Alexander Alex, because I don't like long names in short stories, and because it would make him a little bit mad. I don't usually like to make people mad. It's not nice. But just this one time, I'm going to do it, because it will serve him right. You see, Alex was a foster child too, just like Rosie. But he wasn't an angel. No, no, he wasn't. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm starting to sound like Mrs. Millicent. But still, he really wasn't. He was always doing mischief, like pulling the cat's tail and making faces at the nice lady who delivered the mail. Worst of all, Alex loved to play awful tricks on Rosie. And I don't mean really awful tricks. His tricks were the bothersome, irritating, and annoying kind, the kind that make you scowl and growl low in your throat like a dog. Once, for instance, he glued together the last three pages of Winnie the Pooh, Rosie's favorite book. Another time, he put earthworms in her slippers. When she put her bare feet in her slippers the next morning, icky, sticky, what a mess. Alex concocted mean plans like this, but he also did many obnoxious things on the spur of the moment. If Rosie had just swept and mopped the kitchen floor, Alex would track across it with muddy boots. If she had just wiped off the dining room table, he would eat his grilled cheese sandwich, which Rosie had made for him, and cover the table with breadcrumbs. Once, when she was singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow while she was washing the breakfast dishes, he snuck up behind her and pinched her. She dropped the glass she was drying with a hand towel, and it shattered on the slate floor, which made Mrs. Millicent rather cross. And if this weren't bad enough, Alex enlisted Tug's help in all of his petty torments. Tug was Mrs. Millicent's own little boy. He wasn't such a bad sort, really, but when his mother said, "Shoo now, Tug, go play," he could never think of what to do. He would sit and put his head in his hands. He would frown and think. His forehead would wrinkle, and he would think some more, but Tug was not good at coming up with ideas. The more he thought, in fact, the more ideas floated away like bits of milkweed fluff on the breeze. Now, Alex, on the other hand, got ideas all the time, and these ideas always meant trouble for Rosie. When Alex thought of a mean trick to play on Rosie, he would dangle a jelly donut or a cinnamon bun under Tug's nose, and Tug would be his flunky for the price of a pastry. Even though Tug was sometimes sorry for hurting Rosie's feelings, he tended to forget his promises to stop. Before many days passed, he could usually be found tormenting Rosie once again. This was partly Alex's fault. He would tell Tug they were going to play a very funny trick on Rosie, not a mean one, and Tug would believe him every time. Tug was the one who got caught, if either of them did, and Alex would stand by with a sorrowful, downcast look as Mrs. Millicent sent Tug to his room without supper. Life went on in this way for quite some time. Rosie never knew if she would be crawling into bed with a snake at night or finding frog eggs in her dessert bowl instead of tapioca pudding. She didn't complain. She kept working, and she made the house and garden shine like her own pink and healthy complexion. And Alex Foolscap kept playing mean tricks. Chapter 3. Yes, life went on this way for a good while until one day in the month of May. Well, actually, it was August. I just said May because I like the month. I like the way month and May both make the mmm sound. Okay, so it was August, and Rosie was hot and sweaty. And she was also crying a little because Alex had put a tick in her salad. Really icky. And she almost ate it. Now she was in the garden pulling weeds from around the great blue Hubbard squash, which was one of her favorite vegetables. I capitalized great blue Hubbard squash because this vegetable was her friend. And great blue Hubbard squash, or sometimes just blue, was the name Rosie had given it. If this sounds confusing, imagine you had a dog and you named it Dog. It would be the same. Anyway, the great blue Hubbard squash was the reason Alex and Tug teased Rosie about being the little blue pumpkin girl. No, no, no. If I've told you once, I've told you 60 times. It's not a pumpkin. It's a squash, she said for the 60th time. Oh, I wish I had a friend, a strong friend, who would make Alex and Tug stop being mean to me. Well, can you guess what happened? Maybe you don't know this, but if you stand next to a blue squash in August and say, I wish, 3 times in a row, with the strongest possible feeling, sometimes your wish will come true. No sooner had Rosie made her wish than the back of her neck tingled and she heard a soft poof behind her. When she turned, she could hardly believe her eyes. Standing on top of the great blue Hubbard squash, Rosie hoped to enter in the Tunbridge World's Fair squash competition, was a very strange, very small person. He was chewing on a stalk of orchard grass and grinning at her mischievously. She thought he was a boy, but as you will soon find out, he was not. He had just celebrated his 363rd birthday. His hair was almost as orange as a ripe pumpkin. His cheeks were freckled, and his bright green eyes twinkled with delight. He wore a Boston Red Sox cap, a green t-shirt with a shamrock that said, Go Celtics, and a pair of green but neatly patched canvas pants. His feet were bare and very tan. Oh, no, are you one of Alex's friends? Are you going to pick on me, too? Said Rosie. Of course not, Rosie dear, said the small person in a strong Irish accent. I'm here to grant your wish. What wish? Asked Rosie. In the excitement, she had already forgotten she had made a wish. Your wish for a friend who will make Alex and Tug stop being mean to you. You can do that? Sure, lass, he replied. Rosie looked at him doubtfully. He wasn't nearly as big or as strong-looking as Alex or Tug. You don't think I can do it? Asked the little fellow. Well, no, it's not that. It's just that you're... She hesitated, not wanting to offend him. Small? He said, grinning. Yes, I am. That's because I'm one of the fairy. We are a very small people. One of the fairy? Whispered Rosie, putting her hand up to cover her open mouth. Really? She asked, unable to believe what she was seeing. Yes, really, sprite, elf, leprechaun, you know, the little folk. We have magic powers. The name's Backfire Bob, by the way. Rosie was still holding her hand over her mouth, awestruck by the sight of a real, live leprechaun. As you probably know, it is marvelous to see a leprechaun because they are usually quite shy. They have always lived in the woods and fields nearby, but they are rarely seen. Finally, she remembered her manners. Nice to meet you, Bob, she said. Likewise, I'm sure. Now listen, Alex is cooking up another one of his mean little schemes, and he and Tug plan to spring it on you tonight, right after dinner, when Mrs. Millicent retires to the living room to watch television. Just wash the dishes like you usually do, and leave the rest to me, okay? Okay, said Rosie. Just then, she heard a buzzing sound, and she turned in time to see a ruby-throated hummingbird flitting away from a red flower that now danced in the air. When she turned around again to backfire Bob, he was nowhere to be seen. Oh, I wish I could be in the kitchen doing dishes with supper already done, she said. I can't wait to find out how Backfire Bob will stop Alex from being mean to me. Chapter 4. No sooner were the words out of her mouth than she found herself in the kitchen cleaning up after supper. She opened the screen door to the back porch and headed to the compost pile with a bucket of carrot peelings. Since she had been warned by Backfire Bob, she wasn't surprised when Alex and Tug popped up from behind the raspberry bushes and fired rotten tomatoes at her. Her eyes widened, and she screamed with fright, but then an amazing thing happened. The six tomatoes, flying toward her, stopped, bobbed up and down, as if tossed by a juggler, and then reversed direction. Plop, 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 they went. Alex and Tug howled with indignation as the tomatoes splattered against their chests, arms, and legs. One tomato even hit Alex in the nose, and another landed against Tug's forehead. For the second time that day, Rosie held her hand to her open mouth in shocked surprise. She couldn't help smiling at the sight of tomato juice dribbling down the boys' faces. My goodness, she thought, this is a turnaround. She pulled her dish towel from her apron strings and mopped up the juice on Tug's face. He muttered a thank you, and the redness in his face was not all from the tomatoes. Then Rosie offered to wipe the juice off of Alex's nose, but he pushed her away. You'll pay for this, he shouted. You're really going to pay. Me? She asked sadly. What did I do? I don't know, he hollered, but I know you did something. He stomped away as mad as a wet hen, which is quite mad, as you may know, because hens don't like to swim. Rosie smiled ruefully, wondering why some people are so grouchy. And then she finished cleaning Tug's face. I'm sorry, he said. What for? Asked Rosie. For throwing tomatoes at you. Oh, said Rosie, not sure of what else to say. Tug shambled off to the house. Sorry, she said to herself. Isn't that a surprise? She wondered if she could get the tomato stains out of his clothes. As she emptied the peelings, the back of her neck tingled again, and she heard a poof behind her. It was Backfire Bob, of course. Well, he said, I think we made progress with Tug, don't you? My goodness, yes, said Rosie cheerfully. He has never apologized before. I'm afraid Mr. Foolscap is going to be a harder nut to crack. He is already planning another prank, and this one is worthy of a real meanie. Oh, no, cried Rosie. Oh, I wish. Backfire Bob held up his hand at this. Don't start wishing again, he said. My cousin Brian might show up, and believe me, we don't want his help. Just let me listen for a minute. Backfire Bob sat down on the stone wall Mrs. Churchill's husband had built, put his freckled face in his hands, and closed his eyes. He sat so long, Rosie was tempted to pace back and forth, but she was a polite girl, and she waited patiently. Finally, Backfire Bob lifted his head and looked into her eyes. "He is planning a trick worthy of the meanest meanie," said Bob. "But we will stop him. Yes, we will." "What is he going to do?" asked Rosie. "Trust me," said Bob. "If it's better you don't know. Alex Foolscap will spring this trap tomorrow, but we will be ready, and I feel sure this will be the last trick he will play on you." All right, we're going to take a little musical break, folks. I wonder what this last trick is going to be, and how is Backfire Bob going to help? We'll be back in a minute with the exciting conclusion.
People huddled on top to avoid a fall. Then someone stood up and extended a hand, and that's when the world began to expand. Does the river begin with one drop of rain? The mountain end when it touches the sky? The answer's not in the air, my friend. It's in your heart and your hands and your eyes. The subway was rolling, rumbling and rocking. People swayed on the poles they were clutching. And no one was smiling and no one was talking, except to say sorry for touching. Does the river begin with one drop of rain? The mountain end when it touches the sky? The answer's not in the air, my friend. It's in your heart, in your hands, and your eyes. Ah, but what about the whales? They must be saved. And the dolphins that frolic in the waves? The waves will have nothing to do with the sand if we can't learn to walk hand in hand. Does the river with one drop of rain, the mountain end when it touches the sky? The answer's not in the air, my friend. It's in your heart, in your hands, and your eyes. Well, I'm standing in the eye of a hurricane, sticking out my hand to check for rain. And I'm asking the wind, it ain't answered yet. Can you stand in the rain and not get your feet wet? Does the river begin with one drop of rain? The mountain end when it touches the sky? The answer's not in the air, my friend. It's in your heart, in your hands, and your eyes.
Folks, I'm back for the concluding paragraphs. I'm sorry, concluding chapters. I am reading from Rosie and the Little Folk. We are reading the first story in the book. There are four stories in this book, and we're in the first one right now. This one's called Backfire Bob and the Blue Pumpkin Girl, and we're about to find out the exciting conclusion. Chapter 5. Rosie said goodnight to Mrs. Millicent when the grandfather clock in the downstairs hallway struck 9. She climbed the stairs to her bedroom, troubled and weary. What was Alex going to try this time? Would Backfire Bob be able to work his magic again? Rosie knew she could go out to the great blue Hubbard in the garden and wish three times that morning were already here. But she was too tired. She just wanted to comb her hair, wash her face, brush her teeth, and go to bed. It had been a very eventful day. She hoped the morning would truly bring an end to Alex's torments, as Backfire Bob had promised. With that thought, she sighed and blew out the candle by her cot. When morning came, Rosie's first thought was to go collect eggs from under the hens. She picked up her egg basket and strode to the door. Just before she left the kitchen, Tug looked up from the table where he was wolfing down toast and peanut butter. "Don't go to the chicken house," he whispered. "What?" she asked, not sure she had heard him right. "Don't go to the chicken house," he whispered again. "Why not?" she asked. "I can't tell you," said Tug. "He would be mad. He might play a trick on me." "Oh, fiddle faddle," said Rosie. She was actually a little nervous, but she didn't want to let Tug know that. And besides, she had to gather the eggs and put them in the refrigerator. If she had known what Alex had been up to since dawn, she might have changed her mind. See, Alex had gone down to the swamp and filled a bucket with muddy, stinky swamp water. Into the bucket, he threw three frogs, a handful of earthworms, a few centipedes, and a snake. Not satisfied, he added frog eggs, a rotting fish, and some snails and slugs. Yuck! It was the most foul-smelling brew Alex had ever mixed, and he smiled wickedly when he pictured the contents of the bucket spilling over Rosie as she entered the hen house. You see, he had rigged a rope and a pulley that would allow him to dump the nasty mess on Rosie's head as soon as she came through the door. He heard Rosie singing as she came gaily down the path with her basket, and he smiled again as he pictured her forlorn and sobbing, covered with all the guck from the bucket. "She'll be sorry. She'll be sorry she was ever born," he thought. And he tugged lightly on the rope to make sure he was ready. The little tug on the bucket was the signal Backfire Bob had been waiting for. Rosie opened the door just in time to see a bucket flying through the air as if it were a bird with wings. It stopped in a dark corner of the hen house where Rosie could no longer see it. She heard a splash, and then she heard a ruckus as she'd never heard before. She hit the switch by the door, and a light bulb banished the darkness. In the corner where the bucket had disappeared, Rosie saw Alex snatching and grabbing at things in his hair and down his pants and flailing about like he was being stung by bees. The chickens were clucking loudly from fright, and once again, Alex was howling with indignation. "Wait a minute, time out. This is what I hoped would happen, but I cannot tell a lie. This isn't what happened at all. I hope you won't be too disappointed, but I will understand if you are. This is what really happened." When Rosie came through the door, Backfire Bob said the magic words to make the bucket fly through the air and spill its foul brew on Alex's head, but the spell didn't work. Instead, the bucket emptied on Rosie's head, just as Alex had planned. Rosie stood inside the doorway with yucky swamp water running, streaming down her face and staining her striped shirt and her shorts. A frog and a worm now sat on her head, and pond weeds trailed down over her shoulders and arms. A couple of centipedes crawled down her front, and a snake had landed in her basket. What a frightful sight. But it was then that a truly magical and amazing thing happened. Rosie did not cry. She did not scream. She looked Alex right in the eye. And Alex stopped laughing and suddenly seemed uncomfortable. "You're mean, Alex," said Rosie. "I don't know why. Do you? I think it's really sad." She said this calmly and in a tone that made Alex feel, even though he didn't want to, that she knew something he didn't, and that she was feeling sorry for him. Of course, this made him furious. "You're the one who is sad," he yelled. "Look at you. You're a mess." He laughed. He laughed as meanly as he could. But she still didn't cry. She just gazed at him, completely calm. She looked right into him, and he wondered what she saw. His laughter trailed off weakly. He glanced at Backfire Bob. The leprechaun was looking at him, too. This was the first time Alex had seen him, and he sensed Bob was not an ordinary little boy. Finally, Rosie turned to the snake in her basket. Having put up with Alex's pranks for so long, she had become quite used to snakes. This one was staring at Rosie from above the rim of the basket, looking a little embarrassed. She grasped it behind the head, and holding it gently but firmly, she walked out of the chicken house and let it slither away in the grass. She set the frog on the ground and plucked the two centipedes from her shirt. Backfire Bob picked a few slugs and snails from her hair. Then he turned on the garden hose at the house and rinsed away the swamp water. "I'm sorry about that, lass," he was saying. "I'm getting as old as Father Time, and sometimes I forget a bit of the magic spell, and then it doesn't work. Ah, you're a sight, dear, but we'll set you right in a jiffy." Alex had followed them, wanting to tease Rosie, but somehow he couldn't. What was the magic this stupid fellow spoke of? Who was he? He was right about one thing. His magic hadn't worked. But Alex's trick hadn't worked either. It had backfired. Rosie didn't cry. She didn't even get mad. No, she seemed to feel sorry for him. Boy, didn't that make him mad. And then it confused him. And somewhere in the midst of his confusion, a new feeling came over him. He didn't recognize it at first. It was so unfamiliar. Then it dawned on him. He was ashamed. Like Tug the day before, he thought about his misdeeds. When he mumbled he was sorry, he was looking at his shoes, and Rosie couldn't understand him, but Bob could, because leprechauns can hear as well as big-eared animals like rabbits. "Oh, come on now, lad," said Bob. "You can do better than that. Speak up, speak up." Alex blinked and looked closely at Backfire Bob for the first time. He had been sure Bob was just a sprout of a boy, not even as old as he was, but looking into his eyes, he had a shock. They were the eyes of a very, very old man. They could be kind eyes, he saw, but they could be a little scary, too. "Who are you?" asked Alex. "I'm a friend of Rosie's. Now, aren't you ashamed of yourself for always being so mean to her?" asked Bob. "Yes," said Alex. He spoke quietly and hung his head. "Well, I should think so," said Bob. "What about a little change of heart? Why don't you try being nice?" "Yes," said Alex. I will, I promise. "I hope so, Because if you're mean again, your naughty trick will backfire. I shan't forget the spell a second time. Now, what were you saying a minute ago? Asked Bob. I'm sorry, said Alex. I'm sorry, Rosie. I've been a bum, but I'll make it up to you. With that, Alex opened the kitchen door and climbed the stairs to his room, where he could think. He stayed there until breakfast because he had much to think about. Chapter 6. Well, Mr. Backfire Bob, said Rosie, I can't thank you enough. Because of you, I think Alex might just mend his ways. It would be a great relief not to find worms in my slippers anymore. She leaned down and kissed Backfire Bob lightly on one cheek. Bob blushed. If Alex changes, it will be your doing, lass. I fumbled the spell. You stood tall and brave as a queen in spite of it. You didn't whimper or cry or scream. I think Alex saw you the way you really are for the first time. I think he took a good look at himself too, lass, and I don't believe he liked what he saw. It was both of us, Mr. Bob. I don't know how, but you helped me feel a courage I never had before. Maybe it was because I had a friend for the first time. I'm glad, Rosie. If you ever need me again, you know how to call me. Go to the garden and say, I wish, I wish, I wish, as you stand by the great blue Hubbard. Now, you'd better collect the eggs before Mrs. Millicent wonders where her breakfast is. You're right. She bent down to pick up her basket. Would you like to join us? She asked as she stood up. But she was too late. Backfire Bob had already disappeared. An hour later, Mrs. Millicent, Alex, and Tug were at the kitchen table as Rosie served them popovers with melted butter and hot maple syrup. Alex and Tug were thanking Rosie for breakfast and promising to do the dishes. Mrs. Millicent was telling Rosie her popovers were scrumptious. Rosie was beaming with pleasure, and outside, peering in through the kitchen window, a very small boy with a Red Sox cap grinned with delight.
Take good care of each other. That's what friends like to do. Let your sister and brother help you learn that it's true. We all need to feel wanted for the people who we are. So take good care.
Take good care.
Take good care of each other. Oh, take good care of each other. That's what friends like to do. Let your sister and brother help you learn that it's true. We all need to feel wanted for the people who we are. So take good care.
Take care.
Take good care.
Take good care of each other.
It's easy to feel afraid and harder to be brave when it seems like people everywhere forget to care, refuse to share. But hold on to yourself and what you believe. Stand up for what's right. Follow your light, follow the love and kindness, let go of the hate and blindness. The truth will guide you along. Forget the fears that bind you, remember the smiles that find you. Talk about the new year and what might be to come.
sunshine on a sunshiny day. See what the season has to say. Walk tall and proud, laugh out loud. Get out there and enjoy the day. Step out under that shady tree. Let the outside grow all around you and me. Let it grow, don't be it slow. Get outside and feel the free. Get outside and feel the free. Don't be my shade on a sunshiny day. Can it really shine this bright and day? Grab the bat and ball, don't wait till the fall. Hit it over the wall, run the bases all the way. Step out under that shady tree. Let the outside glow all around you and me. Let it grow, don't be it slow. Get outside and feel the free. Get outside and feel the free. Best games anyone could reach, real legitimate fame. Come on, serve the ball, jump high, reach tall, and when I win, you'll have no teammates to blame.
Don't be my shame.
On a sunshiny day, grab a basketball, one-on-one, let's play. Take that slam dunk, now who's got the funk? That's another, that's my off the board ricochet. Step out under that shady tree. Let the outside grow all around you and me. Let it grow, don't be slow. Get outside and feel the free. Get outside and feel the free. Get outside and feel the free. Yeah. Get outside and feel the free.
We have come to the end of Amy's Kids Show for today. And we have been celebrating our special guests, and I've been so excited to be blessed with a big blue Hubbard squash, which is one of my favorite kinds, actually. So I loved having the big blue Hubbard squash in the station with me today. I grew her in my garden. She's so big and beautiful and blue and magical. You can just tell when you look at her that this is a magical squash. And we heard a story, right? I read from Rosie and the Little Folk by Alec Hastings. And I really hope you check out this book. In fact, we're going to keep checking out this book because there are four stories in here. And so we got to meet this week Backfire Bob. Do you remember what kind of little folk he is? Backfire Bob is a leprechaun. A leprechaun who comes to answer Rosie's wish, which she said three times, right? And did he bring her a pot of gold? I mean, leprechauns are usually associated with pots of gold. I think he did in a way. Because what is gold, really? It's just wealth and abundance. And we get lots more wealth and abundance when we care for each other. And that's why Rosie is my new greatest role model. I want to be like her. because she's strong and kind and hardworking, but she also is very caring. And she makes the best wishes. The best wishes. Do you remember what she wished for? Let's see. I just had it here. She wished for, oh, I wish I had a friend, a strong friend who would make Alex and Tug stop being mean to me. That was her wish. And then here comes Backfire Bob, right, to help her out with that wish. And how does he help her? I love this part. He uses his magic. And the second time he uses it, he says it didn't work. But I don't know. Now that I've read the story again and again, and I'm starting to think maybe the magic worked perfectly. Because Rosie found the pot of gold inside of herself, right? She found it inside. The strength to still care for Alex and still care about him. Even when he was being mean. I mean, that was just amazing. And what did that teach Alex? Well, I think Alex learned a little something about wishes, right? He was making a wish too, but his wishes were coming from bad feelings. He had bad feelings. He wanted Rosie to feel bad. He wanted to spread his bad feelings around. Well, those kinds of wishes, thankfully, don't come true usually, thankfully. So he went upstairs to think about maybe better wishes that he could have. I wish you lots of friends. Lots of friends like Backfire Bob and Alex and Tug, once they learn how to care. You have a great day because you are the greatest. I have really special guests next week. I can't wait to share with you. So please join me again. Remember that this is still WGDR's and WGDH's fundraiser. So if you have a little cash that you can spare, please consider making a donation to our fund drive. And you can find more information at centralvermontcommunityradio.org. Thank you, guys.